there, and welcome to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. I'm so happy that you're here and want to congratulate you and thank you for saying yes to the possibility of attracting the relationship of your dreams. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant Johnson with Love Life Coaching, and I'm known by many as your guide to the right guy because I don't just want you to get a guy, but rather I want you to be with a guy who is right for you and who makes your heart sing. I'm very passionate about helping single women who want to meet and attract your right guy because of my own journey of meeting and attracting my Mr. Right, becoming an ecstatic first-time bride, and marrying the man of my dreams at age 43. And I want to assure you that you're in the right place if you're sick of feeling alone or lonely, tired of wondering why you're still alone, disappointed in the men that you meet, frustrated about how past relationships have gone for you, starting to doubt if your right guy really exists out there. And I want to finally assure you you're in the right place if you're really ready to meet and attract the right guy for you. This virtual gathering is designed to help you see what is really possible, to give you renewed hope, inspiration, tools, and resources to help support you on your journey to your right guy. I'm thrilled to tell you that I've gathered some of the world's top relationship experts to give you some of their best wisdom, advice, and guidance to help you meet and attract your own right guy. I'm thrilled and honored to interview our guest today. I've been a longtime admirer of her work, and I invite you to give yourself the gift of being fully present and freeing yourself from all distractions. It's my privilege to introduce and to interview our wonderful guest, Alana Pratt, intimacy expert. Hi, Alana.
Hi. I'm sitting here going, a longtime follower of my work. Like, I live in this little anomaly where I just generate content and I'm a single mom and an entrepreneur, and I go, oh, right, people actually follow me. This is always so curious to me, and I'm very touched right now, kind of humbled. So thank you so much for having me with you today.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. I'm really excited about this, and I know that the things that you're going to share are going to be very valuable to our participants, and it's very exciting for me to be here with you. So just a little bit more about Alana before we get started. Intimacy expert Alana Pratt knows that sex is sacred, bodies are temples, and true intimacy starts inside. This classy, sexy, Ivy League single mom has been featured on CBS, Fox, TLC, and People magazine, yet her capacity to ooze sensual confidence and awaken it in her clients comes from dissolving the shame and embracing the beauty of her experience as a topless dancer. Alana battled an internal war of body shame and sexual guilt that destroyed her confidence, joy, and softness. Now she pole dances for pleasure and is the walking embodiment of when mom is happy, everybody's happy, declaring it's time to redefine MILF as maternally inspiring, luscious fox, whose potent radiance, exquisite intuition, and sacred erotic nature is the seed and soul of a thriving family, community, and planet. Alana also adores men, heals their emasculated hearts, cures their nice guy, awakens their noble honoring of women, which in turn provides the safe harbor, appreciation, and touch many men desire. She's the proud mama of her 10-year-old son and has helped thousands find confidence, sex appeal, and thriving relationships through her programs, DVDs, provocative weekly show, IntimateConversationsLive.com. Wow, that's quite the bio. what an interesting interview this is going to be. I can't wait. Our theme, you know, of this event is, you know, attracting the right guy and forseeking a relationship and intimacy that so many women desire and are seeking. And Alana is going to be sharing with us from her wisdom and experience how to deliciously attract the intimacy you seek. And I love this topic, and I think this is going to be really fun, so I invite you to fasten your seatbelts and maybe take a few notes and, you know, experiment with being open-minded with some new ideas and concepts and, you know, try some new things on, experiment some new things for yourself, and let's open up the possibilities here. So, Alana, if you would you be so kind to just tell us a little bit more about yourself and your own journey and how you've come to do some of the work that you do in the world, and just give us a little sense of, a little deeper sense of you.
Thank you. Yeah, and cut me off if I go on and on, because it's really, it's a strange journey that I got here. It wasn't planned whatsoever. I'm from a small town in Canada. I was studying business administration at college because I didn't want to be a pharmacist and take over my dad's pharmacy. I didn't want to be a teacher like my mom, and I just didn't really know what I wanted to do. But so I quit because I was hating it. After 2 years of college, much to my parents' chagrin, my uncle drove a big 18-wheeler semi down to L.A. Once a month, and so I hopped on it, and I was going to be a dancer or a model or something like that. And I totally failed. I was actually talented enough, but I didn't have a visa.
Right.
And so there was actually a dance contract over in Japan. So I flew over there. And the first contract were G-strings and fishnet tights, and I'd never done that before, and that was pretty crazy. But it was fun, and I met a lot of great girls that I danced with, and we were at this beautiful hot spring hotel, and it was super fun. And then we moved into Tokyo, and I auditioned for the beautiful Four Seasons Hotel for a show there. And I was like, so four tall girls and four short girls, and we get paid twice as much as the short girls. But they're just as good as we are. Like, what's up with that? But I just, you know, went along with it. Okay, fine, whatever. And I showed up for the job, except there were no tops to the costumes. And I'm like,
hello, okay, surprise.
So that's what that is. And it was one of those moments, Michelle, where you're like, okay, what are you going to do about this? And I thought, well, nobody's going to know. And it's not like I'm in some seedy strip club or anything. I mean, it's a Four Seasons friggin' hotel. And it's twice the money. But deeper than that was that the other girls had no issue about it. And I'm like, okay, what's up with that? Why do I have all this shame about my body? And they are walking around like they're these Amazon goddesses. And it was the first time I realized that it is not the man's point of view, but our point of view, whether we are a piece of meat or a work of art. And that was a really big lesson for me. So I went for it, and I was out there on stage, and I now know, I've done so much, you know, personal growth work over the past 15, 20 years, an ancient, I don't know if it's, I forget if it's Hindu or Zen, but anyways, it's an ancient practice called Tonglen, where the monks would sit and breathe in the pain and suffering of the world and exhale out compassion and love. And these women, without the tops on, dressed like goddesses, were out there on stage, and they would drink in the men's sort of sleazy energy towards them, like the piece of meat energy, and they would breathe it in, and all of a sudden they would like just ever so slightly raise their breasts slightly, or open their chest, or elongate their arm, or lift their chin, or something, and the men, they must have exhaled out like love and compassion, or thank you very much, I am a goddess, thank you for noticing. I don't know quite what they exhaled out, but something where all the men in the audience would sit up like little Boy Scouts around a campfire, and they would honor the goddess. And I'm like, holy shit, how did they do that? So that's when I started to realize we are in charge of how men see us. We are in charge of who we attract to us, because the men have two choices. When you know you are a work of art, and that your body is a temple, and that your sexuality is sacred, and that you are to be worshipped, and that from the overflow you will gift your radiance and your lusciousness, and it will be like nectar to their soul and their spirit. When you know that, and you walk around like that, you bring out the best in a man. Men want to serve us. Good, noble men want to give pleasure to the feminine. It brings them great joy. But when we doubt ourselves, so do they. And when we think we, you know, am I too fat in this? Or did you, you know, don't show them your cellulite. Or like when we start to doubt ourselves, so do they. So I want to start this whole interview off by really giving like a nugget there, that you're in charge, ladies, of the way a man will see you, treat you, I coach so many men, and they always say to me, a sexy woman is a woman who's comfortable in her skin, which means you're loving on yourself. You are loving the curves. You don't care if there's stretch marks from, you know, the baby. You know, you are going to honor you come hell or high water, because you're the only you got. So
right.
The sooner you fall madly in love with yourself, the better. So that was back in my 20s. I met husband number one, tall, dark, and handsome, multi-millionaire, you know, broker guy. I did the whole Connecticut wife, went to Columbia University, did the cum laude smart girl thing. And it was a great time. But what I found is that I made this distinction, and I don't know why, Michelle, but he made more money than me, like millions.
Yeah.
And I decided that meant he was smarter and right. And I was stupid and probably wrong, if we ever had a disagreement. And I lost a lot of that confidence that I gained being a model and traveling the world and all the rest of it. And I kind of had a bit of a regression, I suppose, or just another, if we think of ourselves as a DNA spiral, the spiral goes around and around. It is still going up, but you do kind of go backwards, and it feels like you're going backwards, but really you're still going up. It's just another lesson. And I lost myself in that marriage. And I tried to do it right and look good, and I would hide in the closet to meditate, and I didn't have the courage to say I didn't enjoy our sexuality. And then we ended up getting a divorce by the time we moved out to Los Angeles. And the good thing was I found more of my people, more of my spiritual people, where there was more than just, you know, did I know the latest Prada sale? I'm like, no, I'm a dork when it comes to fashion. I don't know. So, but I found people that could see and even teach me more about the reverence of our sexuality and the beauty of our bodies. And I met husband number two. And I met him when my mother was dying of cancer. And I met him at a time, I don't know if any of you listeners or you, Michelle, have ever given more than you've got. Like you've got, you're full, you're balanced, you've got your energy, you know who to say yes to, who to say no to, you know, you're on your game. And then something occurs and you start to give everything to that job or that child or that project. And you're way off balance, and it almost creates a blind spot where you just don't see something coming that's not good for you. Well, that was my second husband. Definitely not good for me. Definitely narcissist. Really loved that I was giving everything to try to keep my mother alive, and then I gave everything to him, my money, my energy, my body, my emotions, everything. And when I came to, I got pregnant the week after my mother died, and there I was, you know, with an infant. And yes, I was sad my mom died, but that wasn't it. Yes, I was sleep deprived, but that wasn't it. It was him. And as I began to pull my energy back, he became evil, very, very scary evil. And it required police, et cetera, even just to get the divorce handled. And it's been 10 years later, and I don't need to go into this so much in this interview because it's not about Mr. Right, but it is in terms of making sure you choose well when you
right.
Mr. Right, is that I'm still in custody battles 10 years later after 10 years of a divorce. So I made a really poor choice in him, and yet I'm unwilling to make myself wrong because I have a beautiful boy. I have a beautiful boy, and I wouldn't have him had I not made that mistake. And I'm not ashamed of that, because that's quite often how we grow. You know, the road to success is fraught with failure. You fall down, you get back up again, whether it's learning to ride a bike or a sweet little baby, a toddler learning how to walk, or it's us as women learning what it requires to really have that relationship that's going to honor us. So any ladies who have had divorces or breakups or whatever, please don't think you're broken or wrong or a failure. You've been growing and learning every step of the way, should you choose to take the lessons from every relationship and go, okay, great, now what's possible? Now that I know this about me, now that I can honor myself even more, now what's possible? I think you're just going to keep growing and growing. And so that's kind of where I am right now. I'm single. I have a couple different suitors, shall we say. I haven't found someone that I choose to spend all my time with. Not that they're not kind, awesome guys, more of a lifestyle choice, or do they want to be a stepdad, those kind of questions. And while I hope I don't make you upset, Michelle, because this is the Mr. Right Telesummit, I'm not convinced there's one for the rest of your life. I'm just not. I've had extraordinarily deep Mr. Rights for a year or two, and I feel like I've had 10 years of growth and evolution and connection in 1 year. And for some reason, it ended, you know, for various reasons. So personally, I might be different than all the other guests, but I want the listeners to know that I don't believe Mr. Right comes with a timeline, but there is a depth of intimacy and connection and honor and devotion and incredible evolution that's possible when you do really choose an extraordinary partner for a period of time.
Right, and I think that can, I mean, that experience can definitely be unique to each individual woman. And
right.
While I do think, you know, there are people that find each other and there's such a connection and they, you know, want and are able to find a way to spend their entire lives together, those
yes.
of us that have been single for any length of time, like myself, like you, Alana, we also know that there are other relationships that come into our lives which guide us and teach us and create new possibilities and
mm-hmm.
lead us towards what might be next. And they may not be the relationships that last for our whole lifetime. It may be, like you said, that there are relationships that are there and are satisfying and joyful
mm-hmm.
for that period of time.
Yeah.
And, you know, each woman has the right to decide what is right and best and what feels, you know, good to her. And I'm sure we're going to talk some more about, you know, some of that intuitive stuff
yeah.
and being able to trust that, right?
Yes. And let me just say one more thing, and then please ask me what you want to ask me next. If we were to imagine, and I don't necessarily think this is how it works, but let's just, for the sake of creating an image, two gorgeous, incredible women enter through the gates of heaven, and they both have grown and evolved, and they're both just better women from having lived that life. Could we really tell whether one woman had 10 profound relationships in her 80 years and one woman had one profound relationship in her 80 years? Who's to say that the growth that occurred with one or many is somehow better than the other? So I personally take all judgment and off of how one gets from A to B. You know, if we looked at them with jobs, if one person was a nurse for her whole career, but another woman was this, and then she tried that, and then she tried that, and they're just both as rich and radiant and gorgeous. Who's to say that the one with one job is somehow better than the one with the 3 or 4 or 10 jobs? I personally just feel it's unfair and even cruel and abusive to think somehow if we haven't found Mr. Right, you know, before we were 30, or if we don't stay with them for the next 50 years, that we're somehow broken. I'm unwilling to walk around life thinking I'm broken. Screw that. I mean, this is just how it's working for me. I just choose deep, profound honor. That's just like the baseline. As long as that's occurring and I'm honoring me and I'm being honored, how can I go wrong?
Right.
And it's hard to stand up in society when, you know, there's bride magazines as you're checking out at the grocery store. I mean, I get it.
I get it. Right. And you know, there are a lot of cultural pressures and familiar pressures and sometimes religious pressures and other, you know, other things that make women feel like they're less than if they don't have that that ideal, you know, relationship. And in reality,
yeah.
you know, we all know that a lot of the women that are married out there aren't necessarily thrilled and happy in their relationships, right?
Sure. Well, yeah, exactly. So the more pressure we can take off of ourselves and our sisters, and the more we can stop judging ourselves or our sisters and just celebrate the journey and let it be okay. I mean, there's cultures where the women have 3 or 4 husbands. I mean, maybe not today, but there has been. Okay. So who's to say really what's right here? And let's just focus on being as empowered and happy and as much of a contribution to the planet as we can be and receiving as much pleasure and joy and honor from the masculine as possible. Because if we let go of all that judgment of ourselves, we're way sexier. We're way happier. We're way more attractive. We're going to attract some good guy, and if we're walking around thinking that we're a loser somehow because we haven't found him yet, he's not even going to see us because our light is so diminished.
Right, right, and that leads me into a question that I know that you speak to frequently, which is, you know, basically the concept that until you adore and accept yourself exactly as you are, why would anyone else? And can you
right.
speak to that a little bit more?
Absolutely. It's sort of like if I said, hey, Michelle, can I have $10, but you don't have it? Like, you could want to give it to me all you want, but, like, you can't. Until you
right.
have it, you can't give it. And that is the same with self love, self-honor, being able to be vulnerable with yourself. Can you tell your own truth to yourself and not beat yourself up? Can you be compassionate and patient with the wounded, scared, ashamed, angry, whoever she is inside of you, and not say, come on, shape up, enough of that, off we go. Like, that doesn't feel good. Can you imagine a child coming towards you saying, I hurt, it's bleeding. And you're like, stop it, stop, quiet right now, off we go, it's time to go. No, that is so cruel. And yet so often we treat ourselves like that. And so this process is about being in allowance and acceptance, not approval, good, bad, right, wrong, just allowance and acceptance of how you feel right now. Like, I'll be really honest with you. I was out for dinner just a couple nights ago with some colleagues, and this year has been really tough on me financially because I have so many friggin' legal bills. It's just tough, and I'm going into the holiday season thinking, shit, I don't have as much money as I want for presents and all the rest of it, and I was feeling a little bad about myself. And then I'm at this dinner, and, well, I'm having $1 million a year, or, wow, I made an extra whatever, and I just wanted to vomit. I wanted to hide. I felt like a loser. And I drove home going, you know, like I was doing that beat myself up thing. And it's no different than going out for dinner with friends and she's been happily married. And, oh, he just upgraded her diamond on their fifth anniversary. Fuck her, you know, like it's really hard when you're in this world of such external comparison to really be cruel to ourselves and unkind and what's wrong with me? That's so unkind. And so I encourage us all, and this is a deep daily, never lose this practice. You don't get there with this practice. You just keep practicing. It's just extreme kindness, extreme compassion, and loving with patience of eternity. Like, can you imagine looking at a small child who is scared? Are you going to stop loving them because they're scared? No, you're going to love them for eternity exactly as they are. Even if they stay scared for the next week or year, you're going to just be there for them. It's time we be that like that for ourselves. So as we move into, you know, this new year and all these resolutions and all the rest of it, cut yourself some slack. It's okay where you are. If you're feeling scared, if you're feeling disheartened or whatever, I'm not saying go be depressed, but I'm saying don't resist where you are. Go toward the discomfort with love. Go towards the discomfort with tenderness and care and patience. It's amazing. If you think of a little child, you know, they come in and they're crying and you're like, oh, sweetie, here, climb into my lap. Tell me what's going on. Very quickly things change. But if you resist that child, they keep screaming or scream louder. Same with ourselves. If you just say, you know what, I'm going to set the timer for 20 minutes and I'm going to have the biggest pity party possible. Or tonight I am just going to have a bath and I do not care if this is socially acceptable or not. I am having half a bottle of champagne and a bag of chips for dinner in the bath. That's what I'm doing. And I'm going to cry and watch a really sad movie and feel sorry for myself. And tomorrow I'm going to shake it off and move on. Like, if you can just honor the process, the flow, here's what it does. One, it feels way fabulous. You learn self-love, self-compassion. You bounce back quicker. But here's the other thing that's very attractive about a woman is when a man, oh, my God, I have so many male clients, that their woman, when he loses his job, when he has a bad day, when he's not Superman and totally confident 24/7, knows exactly where to take you to dinner 7 nights a week, you know, like when he's having a bad day, if you don't have the capacity to make space for yourself on those days, you don't have the capacity to give it to him. And you know what it makes you? Scary. It makes them not want to be near you. It makes them maybe want to take you out and have sex with you, but not be devoted to you or marry you for life. It is. I was on a stage once at a workshop, and this is blows my mind that men are this intuitive. I was standing. I said nothing. I didn't even open my mouth. I wasn't even wearing anything sexy. And we were like there was maybe 25 women on the stage. And the women in the audience were asked to close their eyes, and the men were asked to vote. Two votes. Who did they want to screw, have sex with, whatever? Okay, that was one vote. The other one is who would they spend 20 years on a desert island with? Because somehow they knew she would be kind. She would support their purpose. She's marriage material, kind of. Two questions, right? Well, I didn't know this, but like standing there, some women got voted only in the sex category, and some women got voted in the marriage category. And you can kind of already, as women, understand that. She's probably hotter, probably dressed with a push-up bra, short, whatever. She's probably more, I don't know, matronly is the word, but trustworthy and kind and that mother energy and that going to make him dinner energy or something. But there was only one woman that got voted in both categories, and it was me. And I'm like, really? Huh, why? I don't even get it. So it was one of those unconscious competences that I hadn't figured out yet, that men will want to marry you for two reasons. One, they want to be attracted to you. They love sex. Hey, we do too, right? So it's very important that you are at peace in your sexuality, that you don't have any hang-ups or shame or withholdings from anything to do with your sexuality, and that you love your body and you love sex and you're at peace and you have the reverence and sacredness about all of that. That's very key for a man to choose you, but it's not enough to marry you. The other category is what they needed to marry you, which is, and this is how the men articulated it at this workshop. I don't know what it is about that one in the middle there, talking about me. If I lost my job, she wouldn't leave me. I don't know how I know that, but she would sort of fiercely but lovingly, kind of with a wink, say to me something like, I love you so much, get your ass off the couch and get a job, you incredible hunky man, and come home and make love to me, or something like that. And I'm literally just standing there, Michelle. So it's who we're being, ladies, not what we're saying or even what we're doing. Men sense this capacity to not emasculate them when they make a mistake, and it stems from us not judging ourselves, even when we are so ashamed that we're feeling so insecure and like nothing. Can we even love her, that part of ourselves?
Wow, that's really profound. So you're saying, just to restate that, because I think that's so important.
Yeah.
You're saying that by loving ourselves and honoring ourselves and letting go of that self-judgment and criticism and that negative mm-hmm. self-talk that we all, you know, have to battle about ourselves, that you're saying that a man can actually sense that, and that
totally.
Creates the opening or the space or the safety for him to recognize that you would be the kind of woman that would allow for him and his humanness, and that he would actually be able to trust that you wouldn't just be someone that he would be with for a night, but that he could be with for a more long-term mm-hmm. or committed relationship. He would feel more comfortable with that. Am I restating that correctly?
Yes, you did, and it's actually what's required for him to be committed.
Right.
See, he can totally woo you and sleep with you and totally no problem. Men feel quite confident in that, but in order to actually commit to you, he's saying, am I going to get killed off by her judgment? Or am I going to thrive and have a sense of freedom and expansion as a man in a relationship? So unless he senses that, he won't commit to you. He won't even ask for the next date or the marriage. And all the way back to the core of it all, you were accurate in saying that we need to love ourselves. But it's not just love our good points. That's easy.
Right.
it's about, can we love that I was out for dinner and the other women at the table and other gentlemen at the table, my colleagues, are making millions of dollars more than me this year, and I'm just as smart as them. I might
right.
even be smarter. I'm just as good of a coach. I might even be better. And to drive home, and even though I was trying my best not to compare, and I know not to compare, and I know we're all on our own journey, and tra-la-la, kumbaya, and rainbows, I felt so shitty. And I didn't make myself wrong for that. I just nursed my wounds for the evening and the next morning, and it was through my honoring and letting it be okay and not judging these parts that are not so pretty that I was able to come out of it stronger, more compassionate, and even have the capacity to have the courage to ask one of them, hey, your business really complements mine. I could really use some extra cash right now for all my legal bills. Is there anything we could co-create to be of contribution to your women in your list? Okay, that kind of confidence was not going to come from beating myself up and pretending I'm all of that in a bag of chips and pretending. No,
right.
It was going to come from total self-confidence that came from total self-compassion, that came from non-judgment, that ended up as courage. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you were being real and you were being vulnerable, right? Which is another big key to successful relationships of any kind.
And isn't it so seductive when someone's real?
Yeah.
Isn't it so yummy when someone's put down their walls and they're like, hi, here I am, the good, the bad, the ugly. And there's nothing to hide and no pretenses to put on, nothing to justify. It's just two real people. It's just intoxicating. And you just don't get there. You do your work. you do your inner work, like intimacy. I call myself an intimacy expert. Some people think that I just, because I talk about sex or something. And I love sex and I love to talk about sex, but that's not what I mean. It's about intimacy. Into me, I see. Are you willing to see vulnerably to the core who you are, who you're not, and love it all? Consciousness, I love the definition of consciousness where it's like the allowance of everything and the judgment of nothing, the embracing of it all and the resistance of none of it. Like that kind of, yes, life, bring it. If we need to protect ourselves, we will. If we need to take an action, we will. But we're not going to walk around with these shields up and skepticism. We're going to walk around with arms wide open. Bring it, life. That kind of woman, that kind of vulnerability, that kind of confidence is very, very sexy and fun to be.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And, you know, it's so funny because we go to such great lengths and such extremes to try to look good and to avoid looking bad and, you know, to put on these masks and, you know, you could have gone to this dinner and, you know, pretended that everything was perfect and wonderful and going well as it was. Well, but I'm saying you did perhaps in the moment, but you didn't ultimately. You
correct.
Allowed yourself to basically be real and to ask for even some support from one of the colleagues that you were there with, right?
Yeah,
and
I followed up, yeah.
That was a vulnerable and honest and open way of being, right?
Right.
Yeah. And it is ironic because we go to these great lengths of, you know, putting on these masks or trying to look good or avoid looking bad, and yet it's actually the vulnerabilities and our humanness that allows other people to relate to us, right?
Exactly. And yet I do have to put a little caveat in there. Only the guy that you'd actually want to be with will appreciate your vulnerability. Guys that are less conscious, shall we say, or less of a match for you, who are trying to be perfect, as soon as you be vulnerable, but they're trying to be perfect, they could even make you wrong because they're so intimidated by your level of confidence and your openness. So sometimes when we're out in the dating world and we're being who we are and we're being vulnerable and we're being courageous, we make people really uncomfortable. And then they might not call us back. And we might make that mean that he doesn't like us. No, you just scared the shit out of him because you're so powerful. That's what that was. Okay? So I'm not saying this is, oh, now just be vulnerable and everything's going to be perfect. And no, it can still hurt, for sure.
Right.
But you need to understand, you need to have the awareness of what's going on so that when he doesn't call back, you actually can go into your knowing versus the spinning of your mind, the knowing that lives down more in your heart, in your belly, in your pelvis, of like, okay, did I just scare the crap out of him? Your knowing will say, yes, you diva. Okay. So he wasn't going to be able to run with my crowd. Okay, I got it. Fine. Bless him. Release him. Ask the question, what's it going to take for me to be with someone who thinks my vulnerability is amazing and he's been waiting for that level of intimacy all his life? Where's he? And sense him when you're out and about. And know that if that is still quite courageous for you, or you're not quite there yet. I didn't get here overnight. I used to, see, when I was a little girl, when I was 5, I was dancing around the ottoman in the living room to Jesus Christ Superstar in like a little Sufi dancer running around in circles. And my dad must have said, be quiet, but I didn't hear him. And he punched a hole through the wall. And he was drunk and on drugs and all the rest of it. But I learned very, very young that men are not safe. My self-expression is wrong. And you better be 3 steps ahead of everybody to survive in this world. So I had a lot of undoing to undo when I would go into a room in my 20s, you know, as a teen or 20s or 30s. I would go into a room with a clenched vagina, and I was very bright, and I'd be 3 steps ahead of, okay, who can I be safe with? Who am I sexier than? Who do I need to dominate? Who am I never going to be able to dominate? So get the hell away from them. You know, like I would assess the room. I was so in my head. I was not this, hi, vulnerable, put all my shields down. Let's be intimate. That was not me at all. And that's what led to the unsuccessful marriage number 1 and the unsuccessful marriage number 2. So I'm not ashamed to share that with you because I want to be able to be your coach and support you with my products and services and coaching, like anything I can do so that you don't have to go through that pain yourself, so that you can do the deep inner work that's required so that those old blocks and limitations and patterns can be dissolved so that you can go into that room courageous and vulnerable, but most of all aware and trusting of yourself and knowing that you know You know a man that will honor you from a man that doesn't, but only if you've gotten out of the spinning head, gotten out of the trying to look good, gotten out of the, well, if he loves me, I'll be enough, and you're right in your worth and your core, and you're loving all this part of yourself, you become like this major, like a good witch, not like a bad witch, but like a good witch. Like, you just know your magic. You know what you know, and it's so empowering. And it's also very attractive to a man.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I want to ask you about something that I know comes up for a lot of women. You know, on one hand, you know, many of us struggle with the idea of perhaps we're going to intimidate a man by, you know, being all that we are. And then on the other hand, you know, a lot of times going on in our minds or somewhere inside is this feeling of unworthiness or unlovableness, or I'm not enough this, or I'm not enough that, or I'm too much this, or I'm too much that.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, you know, how can women grow and expand in their self-esteem and their wisdom and kind of strike that balance? I know we've talked about some of those things, but it just seems those things come up so frequently in my conversations with women, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, my pleasure. So I sort of see it like a speed bump. If there's ever something in the way, like what you just said, that insecurity, you haven't done the deep inner work to clear away the wounds, you're still questioning yourself. I see it like a speed bump. And so when you show up in the world being who you are, the radiance, the dynamic sense, the tenderness, whatever it is, you, in order to show up, you got to kind of get over the speed bump. So you're overcompensating being who you are. And that's too much for the men. And that's when we dominate or emasculate or just scare them off. Well, it's not about who you're being so much. It's the reason why you're being so big is because there's that speed bump to get over. So, I've developed, you know, products, and when I coach with women, I'm not so interested in that, who they really are, because that's easy. I can't change that. You're already that. That's perfect. That's you. It's beautiful. Okay. I'm interested in let's look at the speed bump that you're unwilling to look at.
Right.
Maybe that you don't even see. Maybe it's a blind spot. Maybe it's so painful, you don't even know what the hell to do about it. And every time you go toward it, it hurts so bad that you just go, okay, not going there. And you go back into the radiant thing. But it's an overcompensation radiance. It's really not, there's an effortless and an ease to really being you. I sometimes call it the inch. Are you pushing an inch forward? And it's so subtle to prove, justify, to overcome, to be. Like, if there's an efforting there. Or are you an inch back? Kind of a little bit disheartened before you even begin, skeptical before you even step foot out the door. You know, this doubt that it's probably not going to work out anyways, that inch back. Either one of those places can be so subtle, but it can just, like, remember how I said I stood on the stage and the guys exactly read me like a T? I didn't do anything. And where I was right in that sweet spot, right in the center, connected down to the center of the earth, up to the heavens, as wide as the universe, at peace with me, to the degree that I can, no more speed bumps. Every time I find one, I'm willing to do the work so that I'm not pushing. I'm just being without effort. It's truly like that no gravity feeling of like, hi, here I am. The coaching I do and the programs I do is about going to those blind spots or those wounds. And just like I said earlier, it's kind of hard to be the river and the banks of the river at the same time. So I hold the space as we go into that discomfort or that darkness or that pain or that wound. And you don't have to try to keep it together. I got your back. You can rest into me. I will not judge you. I will hold you in a sisterhood of unconditional love and non-judgment while you practice going toward that part of you with allowance. And when we can do that in potent guided meditations that I've created in different products or in my coaching sessions one-on-one, and even some of my group sessions as well. It's quite a safe sisterhood no matter what I do. That is the work. It's the toughest, takes the most courage, takes the greatest amount of commitment, but it's like, why just mow a lawn of like weeds? The weeds are going to grow back, okay? Even if you mow the lawn, sorry. Like, right. Get down on your hands and knees, get your hands into the dirt, and let's pull that root out right at its core, and then it's gone. And it's not only gone with relationships, it's going to be gone once you date him, once you marry him, once you're 5 years in, once you have kids. Don't tell me that just because you get the guy, like, it's now smooth sailing. Sorry. No, it's going to get harder. because the courting stage is over. You know, shit's going to hit the fan. Like, you're really living now. And if you haven't taken the time to really, you know, dissolve those speed bumps, or you can be that intimate with yourself and with him, I'm sorry, but it's going to be tough once those life challenges come up. You're not going to have that foundation to go the long haul. And so I want to give women everything I can from the get-go for now, and so they have smooth sailing in the future.
And that leads us very nicely into some very generous gifts that Alana has for us. And then she also has a very special offer for the TeleSummit participants. And we'll start with the gift, which is Alana's free sexy tips. And the way that you can access both of these things that we're going to be talking about is through www.readyfortherightguy.com/Alana, and that is A-L-L-A-N-A. And perhaps you can just share a little bit with us about both of these things, Alana.
Yeah, my pleasure. And thank you so much. Yeah, it's Alana, A-L-L-A-N-A. I know I'm kind of crazy. I added an L, but I love it. All is well, and we are all one. That's kind of why I did it. Anyways, so yeah, the free sexy tips. I talk about our biggest sabotaging factor that drains our sensuality, and I also teach you how to shift that. Because sensuality is something where it's like the cup runneth over. You're not needy. You're not looking to him to complete you or to be enough, and that puts a lot of pressure on guys. When you're really tapped in and flowing with your sensuality, you feel confident, you feel happy for no reason, and you're absolutely magnetic. So I talk about that. And I also talk about sexy. You know, what is sexy? I really want you to redefine that as a foundation so that you will soar. We have so many judgments around that word. It brings up a lot of competition between women. It brings up a lot of manipulation. I need to be sexy so that he'll like me, and I don't want to just be wanted for my booty, so I'm not going to be sexy. There's just so much around that. And so I dissolve all that, and I get you back to that place of the true nature of your sexuality, the beauty of it, the reverence of it, the deliciousness of it, the gift of it for yourself and others. So that's very important. And then number three, in the free tips, I say, how do we create lasting sex appeal year after year? Because that's just really like in the world. There's more wrinkles. The cellulite is increasing. The boobs are going farther down the body. Like, okay, so how are we going to feel sexy year after year? It's a real concern. And so I go into a little humor and some practical tips around that. So those are some free things that I'd love you all to go to. And again, she'll tell you the link in a second for that. And yet what I really find works is a consistency. I'm sure you've done some personal growth, and then you get to that place that's tough and you give up, or you come up with some reason to procrastinate, or you just don't know how to get past this block, this pain, this wound, this blind spot. You just shove it off into the corner. But every time you get back into a relationship, the same thing, you know, rears its head again. So I've created a program, Living Sexy, for 30 days, and online it's $297, and today it's $97. So it's $200 off. It's like insane, okay? So it's 30 days of practices. Every practice is different between like maybe a guided meditation or a video or an audio or an interview or whatever. It's all incredibly great content, but it's not just the content that creates the breakthrough. It's the 30 days. It's the consistency. It's going past where you normally stop. It's me being there to hold space when you're like, I'm getting scared and uncomfortable. And I'm like, and you're amazing and I'm right here and I got you. So it's the consistency of the 30 days, and it's what you're doing on the 30 days that's proven scientifically and through my 15 years of coaching to really work to help you be that sexual energy, not try to do it to get the guy, but to be that invitation that will attract not only Mr. Right, but just more affection and attention and honor from all men in your life, which just feels so good as a woman, as a goddess, to have the masculine really honoring you as this incredible woman that you are.
Well, that sounds amazing. And I know that many of you will resonate with so much of what Alana has shared today, and I encourage you to take this opportunity she's so generously offering for both the free sexy tips and then also the Living Sexy program at $200 off. Thank you, Alana, for being so generous with that for
You're
our
welcome.
Participants. And again, mm-hmm. that domain name is readyfortherightguy.com/Alana, A-L-L-A-N-A. And so I encourage you to take advantage of that. I think that that could be very powerful and a great blessing for those of you that resonate with Alana's message. So Alana,
thank you.
And so we're coming to the end of our interview today, but I wanted to ask you, you know, what final words of wisdom you might have to share with the listeners on the call around, you know, creating the possibility for, you know, the relationship that is right for them, whatever that looks like. You know, what kind of words do you have to for us to take away with, and, you know, at the beginning of this new year, it's kind of a fresh start and a new perspective and a new opportunity.
Well, the first thing I say is every single one of you, please sign up for my free tips. Because you're going to be in my world, you'll get my newsletters. You'll let me love you. You'll be able to have my free videos, my radio show, just all these ways that throughout 2014 I can support you. So please just come play with me. And number two, I have this kind of strange vision. I'm seeing is a practice. I have a challenge, okay? A little play work for you, delicious play work. Stand in front of the mirror tonight naked. Soft lighting is always better, okay? So have some soft lighting.
Yeah, we all look better in candlelight,
yeah.
Right?
Definitely, okay? So do that. And I want you to practice this non-judgment. Practice noticing, do you, like when I coach Lisa Gibbons through Dancing with the Stars, like she would always go straight for the cellulite. I'm like, what about this curve? And what about that? Look how beautiful you are. Why are you going towards that which you want to judge? Like, let's celebrate everything until we can even celebrate the cellulite. So your practice is to love yourself. And I choose naked because this is about intimacy. If you can't be with yourself naked and you think he can, that's an illusion. It's not going to happen. So I want you to do that. And then I want you to start practicing pulling different items toward you, like a cashmere shawl or a beautiful silk scarf. And I want you to think about that being Mr. Right. He isn't going to fix you. He isn't going to complete you. He's going to complement you. He's going to contribute to you. He's going to be an addition to your already magnificent grandeur. So the practice is symbolic and it's deep. Look at yourself naked and learn to love every inch of you, and then practice bringing all these other pieces of clothing and feel what that feels like to have that contribution versus, you loved me, now I'm enough. I want you to let go of that, and I want you to have the feeling of, yes, thank you, I am a goddess, and I am a little chilly. That's perfect. I'd love that. I'd love you to contribute to me that way, because that's how he's going to feel the most set up to win. It's a lot of pressure if he needs to complete you. But if he knows that he's a contribution, well, shit, everything he does is going to be good. Like, wow, thank you for that. Thank you for that. And he's going to feel like, wow, it's so cool to be around her because I get to win all the time. I feel so great around her. That is so seductive and sexy and attractive about a woman. So that's going to be your practice to attract Mr. Right in 2014. And definitely go sign up for the free tips so that I can continue to give you this type of insight and inspiration and empowerment all year long, so we can high five when you meet Mr. Right, and we can high five every day until you meet him and every day after, because he's amazing and he's such a huge gift. But you are the real prize today and now.
I love that. Thank you. And yeah, that I would invite you all to do that. It may feel like it's going to take some courage. I know it does for me.
Just close the drapes. It'll be fine.
But I think that is such a beautiful way to, you know, envision and to actually feel what it might be like to have that kind of relationship with your Mr. Right in your life. So I love that, and thank you for sharing that with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for this honor. I feel so alive right now, and it's such a gift to me to be able to share my message, because I so believe in women. I so believe in relationships. I so believe in intimacy. So thank you, Michelle, for the honor. I've had so much fun.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. I've enjoyed being with you, and I appreciate so much your generosity in sharing, and definitely your passion and your love for women and for this work definitely shines through. Mm-hmm. And Alana and I also want to thank all of you as our participants for being here with us today. We know that you're busy, and congratulate you for you know, making time and space for what you want in your life. And then I just also wanted to quickly remind you that over the next few days of the Ready for the Right Guy Telesummit, you have access to the best wisdom from over 20 love and relationship experts, and you're able to listen to the interviews live, and then the replays will be available for 48 hours. But we know that you're busy and may not be able to catch all of the interviews live or on the replays, so I want to invite you to upgrade to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit VIP package and purchase the MP3 recordings of all of the interviews so that you can listen multiple times and use these tools and resources at your own convenience. And we are offering special event pricing of $97 for the VIP upgrade package, and that is available at readyfortherightguy.com/ready. And so thank you so much for being here with us today. Again, I want to thank you, Alana, and I look forward to having each of you with us for more of the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. Were you about to say something, Alana?
No, I was just moaning and smiling and just saying, it's all good.
All right. So we're both sending you much love, many blessings, and wishing you happiness as you get ready for your right guy, and we're going to say bye-bye for now.